I mean, listen, we're talking about practice.
Playoffs? Let's talk about playoffs.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
This is KETR's Locker Room, your sports podcast for Northeast Texas. Each week, we look at the biggest headlines in sports and highlight local sports stories. Here's your hosts.
All right, welcome to KETR's Locker Room on Wednesday, October 23rd. Cooper Welch here, your host, with your co-hosts, Jordan Davis and Taylor Phelps. We've also got Joshua Jorgensen and Tom in to talk about a lot of different stuff today. We're going to talk the win against McMurray, the maybe should have been a little bit better win against McMurray, but it's a win nonetheless.
That's right.
The upcoming game against Tarleton State and a lot of postseason baseball. So first, let's just talk about McMurray. What happened in the game?
You know, it was a heck of a track meet we saw out there on Saturday. We knew they had a good offense. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about, you know, we thought our defense was a little better. In the second half, our defense came out to play.
Yeah.
They played a lot better. They tackled better. They just overall played better scheme-wise. They made some adjustments. I'll give the coaches some credit. I think McMurray really came out and schemed us better than a lot of teams have.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with this team, if you look at enough film, there are probably some weak spots still. You know, we're 5-2 right now, but we've all seen the players and stuff, and coach will tell you he's playing a lot of young guys right now. Mm-hmm. So when you do that, you're gonna have some guys that make some mistakes, you know, here and there, but they're still learning. And then you watch that second half, and they learn from the first half to the second half.
Definitely.
And how many games have we seen from the NFL all the way down to high school that you never see anything change from half to half, and they end up getting beat because they can't make adjustments?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll give our coaches credit. They made some adjustments, and our players made the adjustments. They start tackling better, and they just played overall better and were able to pull it out. It was a little closer than a lot of us would like, but that's part of having a young team. You never know. I mean, if we looked at the record, McMurray was 1-5 coming in. I'm sure most of us would have looked past them a little.
Yeah.
Especially.
Yeah, I think everyone did, pretty much.
You know.
Definitely.
And it's understandable. But especially with the big game coming up. But at least they got the win. You know, we're 5-2, 3 in a row for the first time in a lot of years. You know,
they're
just
long time.
Just playing some pretty good ball right now, but they're gonna have their hands full this next weekend.
I honestly think it was the longest first quarter of football I've ever watched.
Most scoring I've ever seen. 31
they broke
points.
A record. They broke a 31 record.
31-21, I think.
Yeah, that was.
I mean, put up an aggregate
insane
score of 52 points in a half in the first quarter, not even a half.
Yeah.
It's
the
crazy.
The school record for the quarter I think was actually 33.
Okay.
And we scored 31 in that first quarter and 28 in the last quarter, in the fourth quarter there. So
Wow. They
actually had a chance to almost break the record twice mm-hmm. in one game. But
Wow. That
shows how explosive our offense is, which was great to see with a new quarterback.
Yeah.
You know? We weren't sure what we were going to get out of Harrison. He came out. He played well. Of course, he didn't have the touchdowns that Derek Davis had. But, you know, that your hat has to go off to Derek Davis.
Yeah.
You know, he was a starter last year, played a lot, came in here, gets pushed back to third string. A lot of guys aren't going to deal with that. Mm-hmm. They're just going to say, you know what, it's not for me. But he stuck in there. He's a heck of a team player. And he was real close to having, you know, 6 touchdowns. He had 6, 1 passing. But he almost had 6 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah.
You know, we were laughing because Vernon Johnson has huge kickoff returns and out within the 10-yard line.
To the 2-yard line.
Yeah.
And then Derek runs it in.
Yeah, I got the touchdown.
You know, just crazy things like that happened that we got it all the way down there, just couldn't get it in. Just send Derek in there.
Were so non-indicative of what the actual game was.
Yeah,
because
definitely. Actually,
you know, you talk about Derek being a good team player and everything. And, yeah, to get bummed down to third string's bad, but he really found a role.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Harrison was in that role of that kind of goal line package. Now that he's the starter, it kind of bumped Derek up. And, honestly, I think Derek's better at it because he's a little shorter. He can't be seen, really.
They don't
and
see
he's a
him.
Phenomenal
yeah.
runner.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The dude is a phenomenal runner. And last year, that's kind of what we've said about him is he really not a great passer, not a bad passer.
Yeah.
But his real strength is in running the football.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw that against Midwestern when we got demolished. He had that 85-yard run against Midwestern for a touchdown.
Yeah, that was on a it was a SportsCenter top 10 play.
Yeah, and it was like a fourth and nine play. I mean, that was ridiculous. So he can definitely run. We've seen that a lot.
Let me tell you something, though. That boy Vernon Johnson is a bad boy.
Yeah.
That I talked to Coach Carthel after the game. Mm-hmm. 200 yards off kickoff returns alone.
Yeah.
He's like, that's amazing.
Do we know the all-purpose?
He ended up with, I believe, 348.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
All-purpose, which is third in the country right now for most in a game. I saw that.
He's a bad boy. I'm telling you, he's a bad boy.
Yeah, that was D2. Okay. Yeah. That was D2.
Bad boy.
It's a phenomenal number.
Yeah. You know, and I'll give him credit because we've seen it from day one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Teams are going to start really focusing. So his receiving yards could get less, but he's making it up on those kickoff returns mm-hmm. and punt returns. I mean, mm-hmm. the kid's just he's finding a way, on. And hopefully he can continue, but I still had to laugh, guys. I mean, everything coming into this year, this whole season's been throwing the ball. And we've got a running back, freshman running back.
They got over 100 yards.
Carry the rock. Man.
Yes. Man.
Yeah. Very impressed.
And our skill positions are great, too. But like you mentioned on the kickoff, and we talked about special teams earlier and how it needs to get better. Our special teams look amazing right now.
Yeah.
Like every block, it's just a wide open gap for Vernon, up the sideline. And
I don't know why.
I would give credit to everybody. I mean,
I don't know why teams still kick to him.
I don't know. I would never
kick to him.
You're just asking for trouble there. But it was overall, it was a good game, at least to get a win. We talked about it a little before we came on today that it wasn't quite the crowd we were hoping for, but it was still a good crowd out there. Tailgate was good. It's gaining.
Yeah.
But we continue what we're calling our homecoming stretch. This was one out of about five games through here that wasn't a homecoming game. We went on the road to Kingsville. That was homecoming. I believe at Oklahoma, the Southeast Oklahoma homecoming. Now we got to go over to Tarleton. It's their homecoming.
Take them out, too.
It's a quite of a stretch, and then we finally end with our homecoming. So hopefully we can win. If we win the homecoming battles alone, we've had a pretty good season.
Yeah.
So it's going to be tough over there. They're playing some pretty good ball. They had a big loss, though, mm-hmm. this last week to Delta. And
yes.
It's funny. You look at it. On the one hand, we beat Delta. Delta beat them. Hey, we should win. But then they beat WT. WT beat us.
Yeah.
Maybe they should win. So
yeah.
It's not going to be easy for the guys one way or another. They're going to have their hands full, but I'm sure our coaches will be ready. They'll have the team ready. There's no looking past this game. It's one of those that if they can really pull this one out, then the season's definitely on a high note because then we're guaranteed a winning season.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be tough.
And, I look at the Tarleton game, and, our season has been well so far. 5-2s, nothing to, shake your head at all, especially coming off one-win seasons back-to-back.
Yeah.
But we haven't had, I think, that exciting, huge win where it's like, wow, we're really here. Like, we're really one of the top elite teams.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the Midwestern and West Texas game were those games that, at the beginning of the schedule, everyone said, we won one of those. We're big time. We're one of the best teams in the conference.
Yeah, we're talking about tournament
and
play.
Now we're kind of in the middle right now, which isn't bad. Mm-hmm. Huge improvement.
Yeah.
But I think to beat Tarleton just catapults us into the next level.
It'll definitely get us ranked. There's a lot of polls out there, mm-hmm. and there's one that this guy has his long algorithm and all this stuff and mathematics. It all plays into it, and we're 23rd in that poll.
All right.
We're ranked, Ooh, it's wow. It's a really odd poll and stuff, but hey, we can say we're ranked, but we would be ranked on a lot of polls if we could pull that off. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tarleton dropped a little from last week's loss, but that would really get us where we need to be, especially with the seasons that WT and Midwestern are having, that everyone would really open their eyes. And you pull that off, homecoming here isn't going to be easy. Angelo's always tough.
Yeah.
Then we look, Houston Baptist is going to be tough. It's down there. You don't know what to expect really from them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think it's winnable. And then you end with Eastern New Mexico, who is playing some really good football right now. So other years, you know, we were kind of the dog in a lot of those games. But other years, you're looking at Eastern New Mexico not thinking that they're very good. And we end the season with a really, really tough team.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're 5-2 right now, like you said. If we end up 5-6, everyone's going to go, golly, you know, it was a bad year.
Yeah.
Really? We won 5 games. Let's not forget that fact. But if we can at least get that winning record, 7-3, 8-2 is not out of the, you know.
Not out of the question at all.
So then everyone's really on a high note and springboarding to next season, you know. But it's getting there. It's definitely getting there. And homecoming's our next big one coming November 2nd. That's just going to be huge. A lot of alumni groups come back for that. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of things going on. Soccer. We have soccer that Friday night. Volleyball after the football game. Soccer. Do we have soccer on Sunday also, Tom?
Soccer's on Sunday.
I think it's on Sunday again. So that whole weekend, we invite people back. You know, we're trying to get them back to the town on campus to really highlight everything we have going on. And that'll be fun for a lot of homecoming with all the festivities. The burn ban's been lifted, so we're gonna have a bonfire this year.
All right.
So it should be a lot of fun. Looking forward there.
And Taylor, you guys also got basketball that weekend, right?
Yeah, there will be a scrimmage, I think, at the field house. So I'm not sure about open or close, but yeah, there should be a basketball scrimmage there too. So a lot of things are going to be highlighted.
For sure, 48 hours, and there'll be a lot of action going on.
Yeah,
it's going to be incredibly busy. And then we've got postseason baseball going on too. So there's all sorts of sporting stuff you guys can do. I'm sure there's going to be Thursday night football with the NFL, college games,
You could spend the whole homecoming weekend.
No, don't spend the weekend watching Thursday night football. It's not worth it.
but this is the golden time for sports, I think. Right around this time of year, you got baseball, football, basketball going on.
How could you not be a sports fan around this time of the year?
I don't
see how.
You mentioned baseball. We've got I don't know, I guess a couple Red Sox fans.
Yep.
I know we got one. Tom Fitzmaurice here is, he's our intern this year. He's doing a lot on our ticketing side, you know, helping a lot with that. And then also everywhere else. You know, everyone's wearing 5 different hats. But Tom's actually from the Boston area, Foxborough right now. But how about them Red Sox, Tom?
Yeah, I mean, they look solid. We're going to have a tough series coming up. It's fun to see all the people taking Cardinals in 6.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be a homer. I think the Sox are going to take it in 7. I think those 4 games at Fenway are really going to prove to be pretty pivotal, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank Mariano Rivera for that over the summer, mid-summer classic. And the Sox really turned it around this year. 97 wins. It's rare you see the 2 best teams of baseball really getting after it in the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you guys got for predictions?
I don't even see it going to 7. I think Boston can do it in 6. Because we have pitching. The Cardinals just get lucky to me. Like, they wasn't
that
supposed to beat Pittsburgh. They wasn't supposed to beat. Did they beat the Braves? Did they beat the Braves or was it somebody else?
I think that was the Dodgers.
Well, the Dodgers should have beat the Cardinals, period.
Yeah,
I didn't like that. The Cardinals just don't seem. They don't like. They're supposed to be there. Like, why are you here? Like, all your people left and you're still here.
They win. They got 97 wins.
But
this
that
year.
Proved to show you Boston's main problem was his manager. Bobby Valentine should not have been our manager.
Well, let's say this. Their manager and their hitting coach, who the Rangers for some reason picked up.
It looks like Tom got something to say. So,
Well, no, I was just going to say, but, you know, that was a tough stretch at the end there with Terry. And he was beloved. And, you know, as you see, and, you know, that it's very relatable for me to come to a position like this here at A&M where there's been a complete culture change. And you saw really that clubhouse fall apart. And, you know, if everyone's not on the same team really working for one same goal and you lack that leadership component,
it's horrible.
It's very costly. It's just like the strings unravel. It's, you know, and coming here for me from, you know, different various backgrounds and I'm young and it's like anything, you know, you need good leaders in any organization who really set the goal and the mission of what you're trying to accomplish. And it's a daily thing. It's a routine and you really dig deep into the nuts and bolts. And I think Farrell brought that this year.
Definitely.
Definitely.
Restructured the pitching staff, and he got core guys who, and they say we got guys who are here. They want to play baseball. They're not here playing video games. You know, they're here. They're here early.
They're taking
BP. They're watching film. They're studying pitchers. And you look back at the 04 team and the 07 team. Yeah, they were really talented, but they had guys who love baseball.
Yeah.
And in many ways, this also correlates to my position here. And, you know, for me coming here, especially somebody who really wants to become an athletic director in higher administration, it's all about mentorship and the relationships you built.
For sure.
And that's obviously why I came here. I saw what Josh and Ryan were trying to do, you know, and I had numerous conversations with him before I even decided to move across country. Yeah. And just the change agents that they were, they're trying to, you know, build that brand. I think they're great advocates, and I've been here learning a lot of stuff, and it's I've been really able to dig down, and they've been able to help me to understand how not only to do the right thing consistently here, but how it's going to help me in the long run progress my career.
All right.
You know, Tom, we like to kind of find out and let the people that listen find out a little bit about the people that do work behind the scenes of our athletic programs. So kind of what, you know, you talk about you saw what Ryan and Josh were doing here, and you kind of saw what everybody in the athletic department was doing, and it kind of made you want to come here. But how did that happen? What's your background in getting here and actually getting this position?
Well, you know, my background, in a nutshell, I played D3 football. I knew, you know, and playing D3 football gave me the opportunity to get my education, so I was very passionate about that. I knew that at some point I wanted to take my career into higher education, so I got my business degree, and then
where'd you go to school?
I went to Plymouth State in New Hampshire.
Okay.
Division III. Just basically played state schools. After that, I worked in sales for a year at the Sports Club LA, and it's a fitness and gym membership health club. Didn't really enjoy where it was taking me, and so I enrolled in a master's program at Northeastern, Master of Sports Leadership, and I took a really proactive approach.
Mm-hmm.
Interned at Harvard, Gillette Stadium, worked for a public relations company, you know, did a lot of social media work for the Boston Celtics and other major brands in the Boston market. And then, you know, just one thing that I learned in selling yourself is you need to have a very online and proactive personality.
Right.
And through that, just following the right amount of people and people that can connect you, connect the dots. I came across Josh on Twitter, and he was looking for someone to really step in, and we had a discussion, and I borrowed my mom's minivan and packed it up. All right.
So how'd the Twitter interaction work? Like,
I was following a job board, and Josh put it out there, and if you know, basically, like, NCAA Market is the main job board, but you have to pay for that. So, you know, especially at a Division II school, you're trying to eliminate as many costs as possible.
Yes.
And not just Division II, Division I, any level, you're trying to alleviate any, you know, extended expenses. And he just put it out there, and it was retweeted by a job board that I had followed, and I think it was within literally 2 minutes, I direct messaged you, and, you know, and then we just had a few candid discussions, and I asked him really, you know, the right questions about what he was trying to do and how he was going to accomplish it. And, you know, it was just a really good fit for me to continue to develop my career and the skills needed that I'm going to need going forward.
Right.
So you're here because of Twitter.
That's it, man.
Social media.
Pretty much.
The world we're living in now.
Brings everybody together.
Question, are we going to have time to give him the rapid fire? You know, he's never done a rapid fire.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it's a staple. Bring it
on.
You know.
Yeah.
I don't know if we'll have time, but
we could do the rapid fire. I don't think we have the actual music anymore, but we can.
Oh, man.
We can definitely
how are we
do the
lose
questions.
The music?
I got the questions.
Yeah, I mean,
it's all up here. It's
let's
all
do
up
it.
Here.
Oh God, it's all up there.
How about you guys talk around for a little bit more? I'll see if I can find the music real quick.
I got one question though. Like coming from Boston, a town where, like you said, the Celtics, the Patriots. I may not, you know, like the teams, but coming from a town like that where they have so many, like, historic franchises coming to Texas, like, how's the culture different?
Well, you know, the biggest thing, and, you know, I had never been to Texas. I never stepped foot in Texas. And, like I said, I played college football, so I'm a huge college football fan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I only played football for 4 years in high school. It wasn't my favorite sport. I was a baseball player. I was going to play baseball in college, but and it ended up just working out that I was going to go and play football. And that really changed my point of view and appreciated college football a lot more, the traditions and, you know, the passion that the fans feel for that. And, you know, for me at home, it's you got Boston College, who's, you know, at best, you know, perennial 8-6, you know, and that's an afterthought. My father went to Boston College, and I went to a lot of games growing up. And, you know, it's just not a college sports town. It's a dominant pro sports town. And it's definitely a competitive market. So you see down here, especially in Texas, where not even just college football, high school football It's you know, and to have that passionate fan base, it's definitely definitely been a culture shock, but it's been a welcome culture shock. And for me, it's and this is one of the things I had spoke to Josh about. My junior year, I didn't play football. I blew my shoulder out, so I went and I studied abroad in Australia, and that was really you know, I was 20 years old living in another country for almost 8 months. So now for me, moving is nothing for me. Mm-hmm. I can go anywhere and pick up the pieces and do it. And that was one of the big reasons why it was, all right, let's go. And coming down here, just assimilating myself in another culture, it's especially in the long run. For example, if I go back home and work at a Division II school that has a football team, no one cares about it. You know, mm-hmm. this is an experience I can really look upon. And what we've done here so far in the short time I've been here to really expand the culture and try to get that going at home.
Yeah. Well, I found the music. We can hop and do it if
all
you guys
right.
want.
All right.
Here we go. All right. So first, what's your favorite sport to watch?
Favorite sport to watch? Hockey. Boston Bruins.
Okay.
Well, what's your favorite food to eat?
Favorite food to eat? Probably be a chicken parm sub.
What's your favorite Texas sports team?
Wow, Taylor.
All right. Well,
the Lions, there you go.
Yeah, are you talking pro or are you talking in college? I'll tell you, I don't like any Texas pro sports team, so I'll go with the A&M Commerce Lions.
That hurts. How about the best vacation you've ever had?
Best vacation I've ever had was that 8 months studying abroad in Australia. Okay.
Would you rather watch college sports or professional sports?
Professional.
What's your favorite band?
Pearl Jam.
If you could only grab 5 items from a burning room, not including animals or people, what would you grab?
Any Apple product.
Okay. He's a smart man. He's a smart man.
Are there even 5 Apple products you could grab?
Yeah, I'm sure I could find a few old iPods somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah. What's your favorite song?
My favorite song? Anything by Frank Sinatra.
Okay. Classy man. favorite movie?
Favorite movie? I don't really watch too many movies, but if I had to go with one...
Tit.
The Departed.
Wicked awesome.
Wicked awesome.
All right. How about, would you rather watch a game on TV or at the stadium?
On TV. HD TV.
Okay. Would you rather fight Mike Tyson or talk like Mike Tyson the rest of your life?
I'd rather have Mike Tyson bite my ear off.
Can you do a Texan impersonation for us?
Hey, y'all coming out to the football game today?
That sounds more like a Big and Rich to me than anything else.
It's all right, man. I've been watching King of the Hill since I've been down here.
All right. That's a definitely Texas for you. Beach or the mountains?
I'm from New England. I get both.
Both? Okay.
Yeah. Well, do you like hot weather or cold weather?
I like all 4 seasons, man. I lived in New Hampshire, too. I went to college there, so I snowboard in the winter, and I do a little surfing in Rhode Island in the summer.
You did it all.
That's right.
And that's all I got.
All right. You got any questions for him, Josh?
When's the wedding? Tom got engaged like two weeks before he came down here.
Yeah.
He
2 weeks before I came down here. I'll tell you what, it was in the works this year, and... Jerkinson hit me with a quick chance to get out of town. So,
oh gosh,
my girl didn't want to move to Texas, so I popped the question. Now we're looking at 2015. She wants it in the fall, but I'm assuming I'm going to be working for a college that has football. So,
yeah,
probably be in the summer.
All right. Well, let's see. Any more questions for him?
I have a question. How do you feel that Gronkowski's back?
I love it, man. There brings another element to that offense. Stretch the middle of the field. I mean, he's a straight beast. But the Patriots, they're struggling, man. They got no one on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And Danny Amendola, porcelain, man. We're missing Welker for sure.
Yeah.
And now that Will Fork and Mayo are out, I'm chalking it up as a loss this year.
All right. And here's the last question for you. What are you going to do when the Red Sox win the World Series? How are you
going
to celebrate?
Going to Disneyland.
For one thing, I'm going to rub it in Ryan Ivey's face because he's a Cardinals fan.
He's a Cardinals fan.
You know, my older brother lives in St. Louis, so I might head up there on a free weekend and wear a few Red Sox World Series championship shirts around.
All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for us in this first segment. We will be back just a little bit to talk postseason baseball, football games going on, and some other stuff. Stick around. This is KETR's Locker Room.
Get more out of your membership with KETR. Become a day sponsor today and share a custom message with KETR's listening audience on the day of your choice. Perfect for commemorating birthdays, anniversaries, or other days of recognition. More information at KETR.org. Just mouse over support.
My grandma does this thing when she hugs me. She gives me an extra squeeze. She's telling me that I matter, that the moment is important. Because some moments are tough. She nearly lost her husband this year to a stroke. She didn't go through it alone. The prayers of family, friends, and even strangers gave her courage, serenity, and strength.
We want everyone to have that kind of support. Pray America is a movement of people supporting each other by believing with each other. Visit PrayAmerica.com to post your prayers and pray it forward. PrayAmerica.com.
All right, we are back here on KETR's Locker Room. Cooper Welch, Jordan Davis, and Taylor Phelps. So, guys, we didn't really get the everybody to give their postseason predictions. Jordan, I'm sure you've got the Red Sox in six.
I got the Red Sox in six.
Yeah, what about you,
Good
Taylor?
Thing he's not a betting man. I don't even want to make a prediction because...
The Rangers are not in it?
It has nothing to do with the Rangers. If the Rangers were in it, I probably wouldn't be picking them. I don't know. I got to pick the Cardinals strictly off
what
they've done and the history. And like you said, luck. Luck matters, people.
Especially stinking.
I don't care how unfair it seems.
Yeah.
It matters. When you're lucky, the Mavericks were lucky and they won a championship.
That stinking Free guy. Freeze.
Oh, my God.
He's the one that drives me insane.
Yes.
Because... Before they faced the Rangers in the World Series a couple of years ago, he was nothing.
Horrible.
And then he comes out there and hits like
three
home runs, 350, high. Bats in like eight RBIs.
When the lights come on, the dude shows up, and that's all that matters.
He's going for the Mr. October title. I really think he is. But
he can get it the way he's been playing it, because golly, like every time you think the Cardinals are out, they find some way to win. They weren't even projected to go to the playoffs this year. They weren't even projected to go this far, and they still had the best record in the NL and then found a way to, like, not just beat but dominate teams. Like, I was really rooting for Pittsburgh, but Pittsburgh was just outmatched. Like, they outmatched Pittsburgh. The Dodgers, they just I don't know what to say about the Dodgers. All that money they spent, it didn't really do nothing for them. Mm-hmm. Like, they had injuries and Puig, whatever his name is. He had a lot of distractions for the club with his play and his showboating. Yeah. So I could have saw that coming. But what I do not want to see this World Series is another meltdown like the Rangers had against this team. It seems like teams
have
meltdowns.
You don't want your Red Sox to melt down against the Cardinals.
No, I don't. I don't. Napoli,
there's
Ortiz,
something to it, though, when people melt down against you. There's something
I don't know what it
to
is.
It.
Why do teams melt to the Cardinals?
I don't know.
The Rangers choked. They didn't melt. They choked.
Well,
there was an element of choking involved, yes.
The Rangers didn't choke so much in Game 6 as they choked in Game 7. Game 7 was the reason that they lost that series.
They did the Heimlich maneuver in Game 7.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit more about just Texas players that have been involved in this postseason. We've got old what's-his-name, pitches Clayton Kershaw. He is from, I think, he's from Highland Park.
Mm-hmm.
So he came from Highland Park and has really turned the Dodgers around.
He
almost stayed
in a high-class society.
Yeah.
Highland Park to Los Angeles. Wow.
Consider that Texas?
That's a whole different
That's
country.
True. But, I mean, he's from Texas. Then we have Will Middlebrooks, who's from Greenville. Went to
Now that's
Texas.
Went to Liberty ILO. He went to my rival school.
Went to Liberty ILO and was successful there. And now he's playing for the Red Sox. And then we've got the pitcher for the Cardinals. I can't remember his name right now. You guys know his name?
I know who you're talking about.
From Texarkana?
Yeah.
He's from Pleasant Grove.
Yep. Nice Pleasant Grove. Yeah. That's a whole different region, too. Pleasant Grove has their own society.
Right.
Yeah, so.
Although they have a terrible football team, so there you go.
Very terrible.
Yeah.
Very terrible.
Well, that's why he's playing baseball.
Yep. Yeah. They produce some good baseball players, clearly.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Why, in a football-first state, do we have three really, really, really good baseball
Because
players?
Baseball, like, for some reason in Texas, football helps baseball players. because it gives them toughness.
A lot of football players play baseball.
Like, a lot of them play baseball. Like, you know, you have some that play basketball, but baseball is just a sport where, I mean, it's not easy to play, but if you know the foundations of it, if you can throw and catch and hit, like,
they seem
fun.
Like a lot of football guys, football in the fall, baseball in the spring, whereas basketball kind of is overlapping both of those sports.
Yeah.
And sheer numbers. I mean, Texas, you know, Tom talked about our football and our football tradition, and it goes all the way from high school all the way up to professional. And the amount of time that people spend watching and talking about football in Texas is ridiculous. Even for people will admit that are basketball people. I'm much more intrigued and interested in basketball than I am in football. But when it comes down to it, you got to know about football here because people will are going to talk about
it's
it.
Cash crop.
And it's what makes money and in every level of sport. In professional, it makes the most money. College, it's easily now it's become
not even close.
Ridiculous.
Mac Brown is the highest paid person in Texas. Yeah. He coaches football.
Exactly, the highest paid state employee here is a football coach.
Yep. Football coach.
So I think that the sheer numbers, you know, you got to kind of pan out a little bit. You might be better at baseball here because so many people are playing so many different sports, and the talent level's so high. I mean, us in California and Florida.
We got the top.
Ohio's good at football too. They produce good football players, but us three are pretty much
and
the
astronauts.
Powerhouses in producing football players, basketball players, and a lot of baseball players too.
Yeah, even some hockey and I don't really think tennis is something we produce that much.
No, tennis.
I
wouldn't
say.
Or
tennis,
golf.
Of course, Clint Dempsey is from Texas too. Yeah. So that's a soccer player.
But Texas is more a physical state. They like contact.
Yeah, and it's more the team sports.
Yeah. Yeah. So. The hockey, they leave it up there in Boston and stuff like that.
And so many of your small town kids, they see a future in football or baseball. Your bigger Metroplex centers are more focused,
downtowns,
I think, on
basketball.
Like your Dallas areas
and a
your
little
Houston
bit of hockey
areas. I wouldn't necessarily say Austin, San Antonio type areas, but you know, Dallas and Houston are definitely. And it's the demographic. I mean, when we be honest, it's the demographic of Dallas and Houston is predominantly African American,
and they hoop,
and they like to hoop.
They like
to
hoop.
I mean, and there's a lot of great football players that come out of that region.
Yeah.
The talent level in Dallas and Houston
is
ridiculous, and Austin's more of a football town.
Yeah,
to be honest, because you know you've seen people like Drew Brees come out of the Austin area, and a lot of good football players.
Lake Travis High School is
one
of those high schools you hear about
everywhere.
Year.
Then with Hoover,
there's so many people that come out of there.
It's crazy how like so many, and for that, like to have a school like that in Texas, I believe it helps Texas out because Texas already has like a lot of different like counties and stuff in it. But like that history we talk about, like. Other states don't have like that high school that everybody can say, "Oh, well, all the best athletes went there." Yeah,
except for
like,
Florida.
Well, yeah, they
St. Augustine.
They the one Tebow went to, he made that historic as well.
Yeah.
But Texas to me just has like that certain swagger about.
You've
the
got
state.
Some schools that you know they've produced. South Lake Carroll's produced many. Like Travis has produced many.
Yeah, Allen High School.
Allen High School, and that's again
Skyline, DeSoto, Von Miller went. To DeSoto, like right down the street, pretty much.
Darren
like,
Williams went to the Colony. Around here, there's been tons of talent.
Oh, yeah.
Kendrick
Athletes.
Perkins came from.
Okay, you said talent.
He's playing in the NBA.
He's doing a lot better than I would do.
He's on his
he has
last
a championship NBA ring.
Speaking of
as
NBA,
as a starter.
Speaking of NBA, I have I was thinking this question all week for Taylor.
All right, let's get it done quick because we don't have too long.
Taylor, do you think? The Heat can repeat this year.
Ooh,
oh,
good question.
Man. Do I think the Heat will? Do I think they will or can? Obviously, they can.
Do you think
they
will?
Will?
Like, do you think any team can beat them?
Honestly, it's really hard to repeat three times. Let me say that first. I mean, it was hard for Kobe and it's hard for MJ.
Kobe had Shaq. It wasn't
it's
that hard.
It's so hard to repeat three times. It really is. Yeah, and Shaq was there.
Yeah.
MJ did it twice. But
that's MJ.
MJ could have won eight in a row.
That was
MJ could have run eight in a row.
Yeah, that was MJ.
But do I think they will? To be honest, I think they will. Just because I don't see any other team that is put together as well as they are. There's nobody else that I look at the West and I say, that's the Heat of the West. The West is so dispersed talent wise. there's so many good teams. Just the other day, I'm in the locker room, you know, with some of my teammates, and we're talking about, you know, the West, the Western Conference, and who's going to come out. And I'm like, first of all, who's going to make the playoffs?
Yeah,
because
it's crazy.
I mean, you're going to have your Warriors are going to make the playoffs.
Rockets,
OKC, Houston.
So the Mavericks
the
making it? The Mavericks.
There's like four teams that you pretty much say they will. The Mavericks, I mean, yeah, I think the Mavericks can easily be a 7 or 8, even a 6 seed, depending on how they play at the beginning of the year. But as easily as I could see them being a 6 seed, I could as easily see them being a 11 seed.
Or 15.
You know, three out. I could see them way out there, too. I think the Hornets are better. Pelicans. Didn't even mention Memphis.
Oh,
the Pelicans, excuse me. Oh, I didn't even mention Memphis. The Jazz always seem to somehow win some games. The only ones you can really count out are the Kings. I don't know how the Trailblazers aren't
better.
And
the Lakers, because the Lakers, have you seen that roster? It is hard.
The Lakers are going to have, so that's what I'm saying.
Blazers could be a lot
better,
too.
When it comes down to the playoffs at the end of the year, you're going to have a bunch of teams beating on each other, and the Heat are going to roll out the red carpet all the way to the finals.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think it will be tough in the finals. There will be a good team there to meet them, but nobody that can beat them four times out of seven.
Mm-mm. Here's what I'm going to say right now. The Heat win the NBA championship if Greg Oden's back.
And stay healthy.
If he stays healthy and can clog up the lane and can defend well against Roy Hibbert and against the Indiana Pacers, which the thing they struggled with Indiana was physicality on defense and rebounding. And Roy Hibbert can be shut down by Greg Oden if Greg Oden's healthy.
Yes, he can.
I think Greg Oden cannot play a game this year and that he will still be just
Pat Riley's not going to play him in the regular season. He's going to hold him to the playoffs.
I think Greg Oden plays 5 to 10 minutes.
That's it.
Every
I just
game.
Don't think Greg Oden's even relevant. I think that
he's
Chris Anderson is fine. Birdman's fine in that spot.
No,
yeah,
Birdman's
but they lost
too skinny.
Mike Miller. They lost a lot of shooting. That's going to be an interesting
Mike
transition.
Mike Miller was hunched over. He might as well had a walker out there and walked down to the other side of the floor, stood there, and wait for the three.
Hey, he shot 7 of them.
You can find people in the National Basketball Association that can shoot the friggin' ball.
Yeah. And then here's the really big thing for me. They picked up Michael Beasley again.
He can play.
Michael Beasley can score 50 points.
Easily. That signing right there is going
to
help LeBron out so much.
If Michael Beasley.
No. I don't want to hear anything.
What?
LeBron doesn't need any help.
He doesn't need that much help.
People need help from LeBron. People need help from LeBron because LeBron, you got to be good. Michael Beasley will definitely be a good compliment.
Yeah.
Michael Beasley on the freaking Clippers, not even the Clippers, Clippers are better. Michael Beasley on the Pelicans or something is not going to be near as good or the Suns as he is on the Heat.
Yeah.
You'll see a completely different player.
Although he could still, if he's still selfish, we may have some problems.
He's not going to be selfish no more. You can't be selfish when you're on a team with LeBron and D-Wade. You can't.
He was before. And they struggle.
Well, that was with just D-Wade.
Maybe
now
he's
grown
up. Maybe he's grown up a little bit.
Yeah, playing with the Suns.
I hope he has.
T-Wolves.
But I honestly think the Mavericks this year, I seen their roster last night with Monte, Dirk.
They're not bad.
Gallinari. They're really not bad. Yeah. It's just all going to come down to, I don't see just like shooters on that team.
It's going to come down to how well Dirk can play, which it has for the last 12 years.
I'm gonna make two predictions for the Mavs right now. We'll put them on the big board.
All right, put on the big board.
One, Dewan Blair is gonna have an amazing season.
Okay,
he's gonna score 10 points a game. He's gonna take Dalembert's starting center position. Put it down right now.
Wow,
put
starting
it down.
Center
because Dalembert has struggled.
But he's
in
a good defensive.
Games. He's good defensively, but Dewan Blair is gonna come in. He's gonna play limited minutes at first. He's gonna succeed. He's going to play.
Wow.
He's going to score 10 points a game.
Wow.
Here's my other prediction. Dirk is going to have an almost MVP-like season this year. I put it down. It's a comeback. He's doing Tim Duncan-esque things this year. He's not going to play as many minutes, but he's going to have an MVP-like season.
How much does he average?
That's a good question. I think he's going to average at least 20 points a game.
Okay, that's reasonable.
And at least 8 rebounds.
Because Monte is going to get at least 23, 24.
Yeah, he's going to have a few assists as well.
Easily.
I think the only thing that keeps Dirk from not having that type of season is if Monta Ellis decides to be the guy that shoots first. If
he
Dirk
is.
Shoots first, then he has an MVP season.
Everywhere Monte has went, he's been, I'm going
to
shoot first.
Well, they just have to work together. It's just a collaborative effort. And we're talking about the whole NBA season before first game's even been played.
Yeah.
But, they have potential to be a lot better, and I'll leave it at that.
I'll give them that. Yeah. They do.
All right. Well, let's end it on that note, and we got to talk more NBA on Friday or sometime next week because
it's coming.
All three of us, I think, are bigger basketball fans than anything
else. Oh, yeah, I'm very big on basketball. Yeah. Me and Taylor are going to be beefing this year.
So we're gonna get a little too much basketball down your throats, I think, in the next few weeks. But we will talk about other stuff.
Oh, yeah, footballs. We got to talk about football.
Yeah. Anyway, this is KETR's Locker Room, Cooper Welch.
Go Red Sox, Jordan Davis.
And Taylor Phelps.
And we will see you guys on Friday.